Life podcast. We truly hope you'll be inspired and challenged today. Now, let's dive into this message with the family at Pleasant Ridge.
Today, we're continuing with our elder series in the book of Mark, and we're going to be in chapter 8. What's this? Okay, James, you're probably about 10 feet. Can you get down to like line 7? Or what line can you read easily? This one? Take off your glasses. Now, which one? 6? Okay. I don't even think I... Oh, yeah, Sean, without glasses? Is there We're all very familiar with this. We've all had, well, not all of us. Some of us have had problems with our eyesight, and we get glasses. How many in this room have had LASIK surgery? Raise your hand. We're up high so we can all see who's got the good eyeballs. Well, we got a few, okay. How many have had cataract surgery? Okay, we got a few more people there. What's the purpose of having those things done? So you can see, well, could you see before you had them done? Very poorly. We all want to see well, right? Don't we want to see well? Could you imagine living, 100, 200 years ago, and as your eyesight went, there was nothing you could do about it. I often think of, let's say you were a Native American Indian, and you go to shoot your bow and arrow out hunting or whatever, and then your eyesight gets bad when you get older. You're in trouble. We all like to have good eyesight. That's just the nature of things. And so we have LASIK surgery, we have cataract surgery, all kinds of things to help with our eyesight. Well, today we're going to be focusing on seeing, and the story is seeing physically, but we're going to look at, I think when Mark writes this, he's got some ideas about seeing spiritually, and we're going to try to weave those two together. So our scripture this morning is Mark chapter 8. So this is not quite yet Mark chapter 8. Verse 22. They came to Bethsaida, and some people brought a blind man and begged Jesus to touch him. He took the blind man by the hand and led him outside the village. When he had spit on the man's eyes and put his hands on him, Jesus asked, "Do you see anything?" He looked up and said, "I see people. They look like trees walking around." Once more, Jesus put his hands on the man's eyes. When the man's eyes were opened, his sight was restored, and he saw everything clearly. Jesus sent him home, saying, "Do not even go into the village." Jesus and his disciples went on to the villages around Caesarea Philippi. On the way, he asked them, "Who do people say that I am?" They replied, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others say one of the prophets." "But what about you?" he asked. "Who do you say that I am?" Peter answered, "You are the Messiah." Remember the song we sang this morning? Jesus, Messiah. Jesus said, "You're the Messiah." Jesus warned them not to tell anyone. Today we're going to look at the three conditions physically of eyesight with this blind man and what he experienced. It's pretty basic. He was blind, then he could see partially, and finally he could see perfect. But we're going to take these three physical conditions and show how they can be a metaphor or a picture of different spiritual perspectives we can have about circumstances in our lives. So, Mike does a takeaway. I'm going to do a takeaway, and I hope my takeaway helps you to remember what you need to remember for the rest of the week. The takeaway is ask Jesus to apply sanctified saliva to your spiritual eyes. Ask Jesus to apply sanctified saliva to your spiritual eyes. I only say that to give you something crazy that you will remember. But in the end, what we're looking at in our lives, what's going on around us, all the circumstances, some good, some bad, some little, some big, if Jesus can touch our spiritual eyes and we see it from his perspective, from a spiritual standpoint, it makes it much better going through the difficulties of our life. So ask Jesus to apply sanctified saliva to your spiritual eyes. This story we're going through today is only mentioned in Mark. And the first part says, and they came to Bethsaida, and some people brought a blind man and begged Jesus to touch him. He took the blind man by the hand, led him outside the village, and when he had spit on the man's eyes and put his hands on him, Jesus asked, "Do you see anything?" Just to give you background, Jesus was at the Sea of Galilee and the feeding of the 4,000, and he went across the city of Bethsaida. You see, is on the north edge of the Sea of Galilee, and there's this blind man there. It seems as though the people that were there brought this man not so much out of love and concern, but like, this is kind of fun to see these miracles. Here's a guy. Let's bring him up to Jesus. And Jesus, would you heal this guy for us? Because we like to see miracles. It's exciting. Not so much out of love and concern. But Jesus then, he takes the man by the hand and says, let's get away from this crowd. Let's get away from all these people. Let's go outside the village. And that's where he led him to perform this miracle. Blindness was not good in older cultures. Physically, how do you live? How do you make a living? How do you eat? Take care of yourself being blind. And then there was a lot of negative connotations of, oh, you're blind, you did something wrong, something's wrong with you. So being blind was a difficult circumstance for this man, but I believe Jesus had compassion towards him, and he took him out of the village and led him by the hand to where he wanted to perform this miracle. And then it says that Jesus spit on the eyes of the man and put his hands on him to heal him. Now, that's a pretty strange approach to healing. Jesus did heal a deaf man by spitting on the ground and making mud. And the question arises, why did he spit in the guy's eyes? Well, the answer I come up with is, we really don't know. I don't know why Jesus spit in the eyes. There's some suggestion that culturally, saliva was thought of as having healing powers, and so maybe that's why he did it. It's referenced in the Old Testament in mostly negative, or only in negative ways. You know, in the Old Testament, if a lady's husband died, she was in trouble to support her family. There was no Medicare or Medicaid or network, and so God's way of taking care of that in the Bible was, if your husband dies, go to his brother, your brother-in-law, and get married, and then you'll have children, and he'll support your family. But in the Old Testament, it says, if the lady, the widow, goes to the man and says, you need to marry me because my husband died, and he says, no, I don't want to marry you, then she spits in his eye, and or spits in his face, and takes off his sandal,
And I can't remember now exactly what the curse was that she would present on him. But so the woman would spit in the man's face if he didn't follow through with what he was supposed to be doing. So spit is a very negative thing. And so the man's physical condition was he was blind. But let's look at blindness as a picture of our spiritual lives. I'm going to back up to the section Mike talked about last week for just a little bit. It says in verse 17, aware of their discussion, Jesus asked them, why are you talking about having no bread? Do you still not see or understand? Are your hearts hardened? Do you have eyes but fail to see? Obviously, Jesus is not talking about their physical condition of their eyes, or he's not telling them you guys all need LASIK surgery. That's not what he's saying. He's saying, in a spiritual sense, you do not see and know what I'm trying to do. There was nothing wrong with their physical eyes. Do you see? The answer would be physically, yes, I can see. I'm fine. But Jesus was saying they were failing to see. Have you ever been, or I've been out with little kids when our kids were younger, and we're on a hike through the woods, and I'm just walking. And the younger kids see every little thing. There's this little rock that's yellow, and they pick it up. Or in the river, this little tiny shell, or everything gets, they see and perceive much better than we adults do. We as adults on the spiritual side need to see and perceive what is going on and not see just the physical that's around us. We often complain about the physical. I got kind of a list here. I don't want to step on anybody's toes, but we complain and we're looking at the physical. We complain about how someone dresses, how someone treated me, the poor food they served me at that restaurant, the stupid driver going 40 miles an hour in a 55, the unseasonably cold weather, not having anything to wear, not having a nice house in the country rather than this mobile home in the mobile home park. We go on and on, seeing the circumstances of our life and being blind and not perceptive of the spiritual side. So this man was blind. The disciples hear Jesus is saying, hey, you guys are blind on the spiritual side. You're not seeing what I want to do. You're talking about a loaf of bread, and I'm talking about the leaven of the Pharisees. So they were blind. The second story, part of the story with the blind man, was Jesus said, do you see anything? And he looked up and said, I see people. They look like trees walking around. It seems to be that, and we don't understand, why did it take Jesus two steps to heal this man totally? Well, Jesus being Jesus could do it however he wanted, and if he wanted to do it in one step, he could have, but for some reason, he did it in two. And the blind man says, I see people, which leads us to believe he probably had sight at one time. He knew what people were, and he said, those are people, but they look like a tree. Not very flattering of us. Hey, you look like a tree today. So he was seen partially, and we're just not sure why Jesus had a two-step process in this healing. But if we say, what would be partial sight or partial blindness, either way you want to look at it, in our spiritual lives. What would that look like? Let's go to the next section of Scripture. What would it look like to be kind of seen, but like trees? We're not seeing real good. Jesus and his disciples went on to the villages around Caesarea Philippi. On the way, he asked them, who do people say I am? And they replied, some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, still others say one of the prophets. Is there anything wrong with those answers? Would you like to be compared? Oh, you are such a doing great things for God. You're like Elijah. Or you're like John the Baptist. Pretty good stuff. But was it accurate? He was not Elijah, and he was not John the Baptist, and he was not one of the prophets. Do you ever have people that agree that Jesus was a good guy? He did miracles, kind of nice. Most Christians are, you know, good, and they've done good things to help other people. Yeah. But that's just partially seen. If you only see Jesus as Elijah, you're not seeing him as Jesus, you're seeing him as a human. So that's a partial blindness, a partial sight. And like I said, John the Baptist and Elijah and the prophets, that was a great thing to be compared to, but it was not true of Jesus. He was not one of those guys. He was Jesus, God, Messiah. Many people today say many good things about Jesus. There was partial eyesight. A lot of people have partial eyesight of Jesus. They seem maybe like a tree. Yeah, he's there, God's in my life, but I don't recognize him for who he is. And as we as Christians go through life, it's hard to keep our eyesight correct. We just read about the disciples. Jesus said, are you blind? And they were being blind. They were not picking up on the spiritual truths he was trying to teach them. I want to suggest that in our Christian life, we can move between blindness to what God's doing, partially seeing what he's doing, and then fully seeing what he's doing. There's situations in our lives that we can be in different parts of this. And one of the problems we have as humans is we're human. What's 1 Corinthians say in the love chapter? It says, for now we see only a reflection as in a mirror. Then we shall see face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully even as I am known. As we go through our Christian walk, we need to always be looking for what's God doing in our lives. But we can't get to the place on this earth where we see it perfectly. Paul's saying, we see in a mirror dimly. Mirrors back then weren't even glass mirrors like we have today. They were a metal mirror that kind of shined up real good, and you could see kind of the way you looked. But that's the way that Paul describes how we look in a mirror. So the story of the blind man of Bethsaida shows us that we can be blind like the apostles were, seeing but not seeing. And we can have a partial eyesight like the people. Jesus is Elijah. He's a good guy. But in this story, then finally, once more, Jesus put his hands on the man's eyes, and his eyes were opened, his sight was restored, and he saw everything clearly. Jesus sent him home saying, do not even go into the village and tell him. So Jesus touched him again, and his eyes were opened, his sight was restored, and he saw everything clearly. This man had first century or Jesus day LASIK surgery. Have any of you walked out of LASIK surgery and when your eyes healed up, you thought, wow, this is wonderful? I can see. That's what this guy was. Okay, I see like trees, but now after the second touch, wow, I see perfectly. Well, what's the spiritual lesson here? What's the spiritual lesson here? How do we see Jesus? But what about you? Jesus asked, who do you say that I am? And Peter answered, you are the Messiah. This is a very important question for all of us. It applies to anyone here today that's not a Christian. Who do you say Jesus is the most important question anybody will answer in their lives, to say he is the Messiah, he's the Son of God, he's my Savior. But Jesus was already the disciple. He wasn't asking, he wasn't answering the question in that way, but he was seeing who Jesus was. Our spiritual eyesight begins with a clear confession of who Jesus is, our Lord and Savior, who died, and we can have forgiveness of sins through him. That's the starting point of our spiritual life, is with salvation. And Jesus, or Peter here, he makes this statement, you are the Messiah. If we had time, we could go get the worship team back up here and sing Jesus Messiah again. But we won't do that to you. No planning on that. But what a great thing to say. You are the Messiah. But Mike reminded us of some of the things later in Peter's life. He left Jesus in his crucifixion. He abandoned. How could he do that? He said, you are the Messiah. And then, I don't know, a year down the road, we can do that too. You can be in a situation that's really tough, and you rely on God, you put your hope on him, and you're handling it well. And then that same situation or some other situation, you can get your eyes off of God. And it begins to pull you down, distress you. And it's been interesting talking to people. I mean, we all are going through things in our lives that are tough. You know, 91-year-old parents that can't do much for themselves, and you got to go over there once a week, takes most of one day. Now, I'm not complaining, but, you know, what's God doing in that situation? What should I be seeing without looking at myself, but looking at what God's doing in that situation? We got people with financial issues. Look to God to see the situation clearly. So Peter denied Christ, even though he had said this. So be aware that when, no matter what happens in your life, you need to see it the way Jesus wants you to see it, and not get dragged down and miss it. That's what happened to Peter. And I'll tell you, to be honest, it does happen to all of us. But we have to get right back up and look at our lives through Jesus' eyes with a clear vision of what he is trying to do. And Jesus can give us that. That's my takeaway. Ask Jesus to give you sanctified saliva. Ask Jesus in that situation, Jesus, help me to see this the way you see it and what you see is going on in my life. You know, I don't understand it, and I wish it would change. What are you doing here? There's a real good illustration of this in the Old Testament. There was a guy by the name of Gehazi. He was the servant of Elisha, not Elijah, but Elisha. And the story is the enemy king would make battle plans and say, I'm going to go here and attack the Israelites. Well, God would reveal that to Elisha, and he'd go to the Israelite king and say, hey, they're coming here, be ready, you know, sneak up on them, wipe them out. And that happened over and over and over. And the enemy king said, who in this tent here is going to tell the Israelites what I'm doing every time? And his men say, it's not us. This dude Elisha over in Israel, he tells you what even you say in your bedroom. And so the enemy king says, I got it. I know where he's at in a little town. I'm going to take the Navy, the Air Force, and the Marines. He said, I'm going to take the horses, the chariots, and the army. Everybody's going, surround this town, and we're going to get Elisha so I can beat the king of Israel. So they do that. Gehazi, this servant, gets up in the morning. He's going out to dip the water. And there's army all the way around this town. And he throws the water, this is a little bit of ad lib, throws the water up in the air, runs into Elisha. Elisha, Elisha, they're all around us. What are we going to do? And Elisha says, he says in 2 Kings, Elisha prayed, open his eyes. Talking about Gehazi, the servant. Open his eyes, Lord, so that he may see. Then the Lord opened the servant's eyes, and he looked and saw the hills full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. He didn't see God's army. He just saw man's army. All the problems around here, he didn't see God's army. That's a good illustration of us. What are you looking at today? It looks like that army. The Marines, the Air Force, Army, everybody, it's all bad around you. Pray and ask God, God, put a little sanctified saliva on my eyes so when I see this problem, this issue, this circumstance in my life, I can see it the way you do. Because he is in charge of it. We want God to open our eyes. So, pretty simple this week. Whatever you're facing, if it looks difficult, it's hard to see what is going on here, simply ask Jesus to apply sanctified saliva, and I say that in a way to help you remember it, to your spiritual eyes this week. God, help me to see my life as you see it, even though some tough things are happening in some of our lives. Help me to see it clearly. And you got to keep coming back to that. And you get discouraged sometimes and you don't see it clearly and you say, God, I just want to give up on this. This is, come back and say, Lord, open my eyes so I can see it as you see it. So that's the spiritual side of the man, the blind man of Bethsaida. We can be blind in our spiritual lives, and we all are at times. Sometimes we kind of see, but we don't see clearly. But we need to always be asking Jesus to make our eyes see clearly to what he's doing, what he wants, what's going on in that spiritual realm around us, so we can see the chariots of fire of God rather than the circumstances around us. Let's pray.
If you're interested in more information about our church or knowing the peace that Jesus gives, visit our website at lifeattheridge.church.